If you remember, last week I began to speak about what I called the threefold purpose of God in your life, and that's is a continuation of what we have been saying concerning the matter of holiness. Remember what we said holiness is? Holiness actually refers to who you belong to. I saw that expression that I wrote some time ago, but actually, more practically, it refers to the purpose that you are serving in life. Paul said that God, whose I am and whom I serve, that is, there is something that God is doing and I'm working with Him. Therefore, my work is said to be a work in holiness. We have explained that again and again. And I remember that when we talked about the Nehemiah situation in which he discovered the will of God and said confidently that God laid something upon his heart, we found the foundation from the book of Psalms 122, in which he said that David was teaching people to pray. He said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper that love you." Now, what we're seeing from there is that the thing about Nehemiah was that he was seeking the peace of Jerusalem. His thoughts, his ideas in life were resonating with what God wanted to do. And we said that that is what's most important. There are things that God wants to do in life, and the people that will prosper in life, who will see God, like the Bible says, are those who are working with what God wants to do. Now, I was reading a book, and I don't even know which book now, but okay, he was talking about soldiers again for Christ and all that. And he was emphasizing the fact that Christians should be careful that they don't think that that like the world or God owes them comfort as a primary thing in life. Okay? That they should always remember that they are on this earth for a particular purpose, and that's what should be the paramount thing in the heart of a Christian. You know, we are talking about I was talking about this seminar that we are doing in a few days, and the title of that seminar, remember, is what? Power for Creative Excellence. One of the things I'm going to be preaching about, especially, is talk, because if you heard the advert on radio, I said that what I want to do is to, by the movement of the Word of God, impart the entrepreneurial spirit into people. That is, God didn't bring you out to grumble and complain about what is going on in the world, but to do your own portion, okay, in changing the thing that's going on the earth. And one of the things that God does is, all right, for God, it's very important that people walk. Do you get what I mean? Because when he created Adam, remember the first thing he told Adam to do was to cultivate and keep, and therefore, after that, he will be able to eat whatever he finds. So one of the things that God actually wants people to do in life is to enable other people to be productive. Do you follow my point? It's very important. And you know, for that reason, I want to explain during this seminar, you will see, we will discuss it then, very importantly, that what you are actually going to be doing is to see anything that you are going to do in life as a ministry. Do you follow my point? For example, raising children, as far as I'm concerned, is a ministry. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is why, you know, sometimes when people look at my wife, then they don't think about that anymore. But when we first took some decisions, which is not so unusual, just that you're not looking in the right places. A lot of people do those things. The moment my son was born, my wife was working in a bank, and of course, I work as a university lecturer, hospital consultant. I'm also a full-time preacher. So the situation on the ground now is that dad is busy, mommy is busy. Who takes care of, you know, somebody has to take care of the little boy. And as far as I understand, I'm not doing it to make me happy. I am not doing it to make my wife happy. I am not doing it to make the society happy. I believe that this is a soldier of Christ sent into my house for training. Do you get my point? I'm supposed to bring him up in a way by which he can do greater things than I can imagine, than I can envision doing in life. He will be able to do beyond that. That is, by the time I'm departing from this world, not even even before then, as I'm growing older and he's becoming of age, I'll be having dreams, all right? I'll be having ideas which I will give to him. The old men will be dreaming dreams, and the young men will transform those dreams into visions that they will be running after. Now, God needs generations to do certain things. Abraham would have found it hard to walk that distance, I believe, except that his father already covered some distance, and then God called him from there on to continue moving. Do you get the point I'm making? Moses did not take the people into the promised land, but Joshua would have had a serious problem bringing them out of Egypt. So Moses took them out of Egypt to the edge of the promised land, and then his own job was done. Then Joshua was not able to take them from there into the promised land. So I understand all of this. That is why all my children are named prophetically. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not what sounds nice. It must have a meaning to me. That's why I named my son the warrior of God, the Lord's warrior, because I expect that devil should be afraid of him. Do you get what I'm trying to say? For that reason, all right? For that reason, I have to start doing things now to show that I'm serious about what I'm saying. I'm raising my children as an assignment from God. One of the things that God showed, well, it was, is a physical vision, what I mean, like, it was a photograph. But my wife and I saw it before our kids began to come one after the other. One day, it was in the Deeper Life magazine, a woman was standing there, and we saw there was a drawing, and the great hand, which was the hand of God, with a little child in the palm of his hand, was handing that baby over to that woman. And you know, both of us saw it and smiled. It was so dramatic, simple photograph. But what he was saying, in effect, is that you are not going to have children because of your fertility. Do you get my point? You're not going to have children because you planned it. Not at all. You are going to have children because I delivered them to you. And the life of Samuel is a very good example. Hannah especially, I mean. When God was going to give Samuel to Hannah, it was because Hannah made certain statements. And God now gave Samuel so that he might fulfill a mission he had then in the land. Do you get my point? You must see everything in life like this. When it comes to marriage, you must see it like that. That's why it's nothing but, you know, spiritual stupidity. The reason I look, I want the best for myself. I just want to be very, very happy in life. And so that your husband can buy you a car, you can rent to build a good house. And listen, you know, in fact, there's a message. I preached this message in church on Wednesday. Okay? Now, this for me, I had said this at the beginning. It was Valentine's Day. I don't believe in Valentine. I don't know who Valentine was. Whether he was in the evil spirit or Holy Spirit, I don't know. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong. It's just that I have a problem with ceremonies. You get what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with it. But that day I was supposed to preach, and the Holy Spirit instructed me clearly to go and preach on how to find true love. In fact, that day in church, I told them that I'm very, very unhappy preaching this message today. You know, I have to be very obedient to the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? As soon as I entered church and sat down, my text scripture, you know, I had not read Songs of Solomon in a very, very long time. Do you understand? Then I just sat down there, and then the thought just came to my mind, Songs of Solomon. And I said, Holy Spirit, are you the one saying Songs of Solomon? Because I have already thought about something to say. Then I just took the Bible and opened to it. And I read, by the time I got to verse 4, it clicked what the Holy Spirit wanted me to read. Now, why I'm referring to that is because that's exactly the same thing I said in there. It's not just about marrying a wonderful man. You get my point? That's a worldly mentality. It's not just about marrying a wonderful woman. That's the worldly mentality. You must have a purpose in mind. Do you get my point? And what he said is that, he said, because of the fragrance of thy oils, purity of thy oils, the maidens love thee. He said, but draw me unto you, let us run together. That you must be thinking about somebody you can run with. Do you get my point? That is, you must have a vision. What gives race to your feet is a vision. Write the vision that he might run that readeth it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? A man runs because he's seeing something. There is something that he's going after. Are you getting the point I'm making? And you see, that's what helps you make decisions in life. Like I said in that message, where the people don't have visions, they are unrestrained. They don't really know exactly what they want in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? All this is about what's the will of God? What is the will of God? What's the will of God? All those things are results of confusion in other areas. Do you get my point? It's not about that issue, really. It's confusion in that. Let me give you an example. If you felt very strongly in your heart and you began to manifest the signs of it that you are going to be a preacher, and the woman you want to marry swore that she can never be a preacher's wife, do you need God to talk to you again? You don't need it. You don't need it. There's nothing like go and pray. Listen, David said like this, we saw a call to Keilah. God said, Saul will come to Keilah. He said, will the people hand me over? God said, the people will hand you over. He didn't ask any further question. He packed his bag and baggages and missed from there. He didn't ask God, shall I run or I shall stay? Listen, that was not the question. We are running from Saul. We don't want to die yet. Once we know that Saul will come to Keilah, and we know that the people of Keilah will hand us over to Saul, we don't need to pray any further. We will get up and depart because this is not the place of our rest. Are you getting my point? I'm saying all of this is to realize again the power of holiness. Giving your life direction. Once you are walking with the purpose of God, this is so important. I'm just trying to reinforce the things that we have been saying about these things. That's the power of holiness. That's what holiness does for you. He helps you walk in the will of God spontaneously. I'm saying all of this to emphasize that thing again, that God always has a purpose in life. Do you follow my point? Last week, we began to see that threefold purpose of God in this life as it concerns your life, our individual lives. We said it's threefold. Number one, God has a purpose that relates to you personally. It doesn't concern anybody else. Then he has a purpose that he's working through you in the body of Christ. And then third, he has a purpose that is working through you towards the rest of the world. Are you getting my point? One, you. Two, the church. Three, the whole world. All right? And last week, we began to see that issue of, actually, though we read from Romans chapter 12, in which Paul was speaking especially about the body of Christ, because he said, verse 5, he said, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. He said that each person has a function. We emphasize that when we read from verse 4. And we now said that this function is shown by the gifts that we have in verse 6. And we have explained that grace, he said each person has a gift that differs according to the grace given to each one. What he was saying is that you will find something flowing out of you spontaneously and easily and naturally. And that is your own gift. And that's because God has imparted a grace upon you in that area. He now said you should employ this one to serve one another. He said what you do is to exercise your gift accordingly. I emphasize that that is a function. That is what you use to function in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to see some share some things further along those lines today. But what I wanted to say just now is that when I was thinking about it, I realized that it's not just to the body of Christ, all right, that grace actually works. It's not. It goes beyond there. It's just that this is the way God does things. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world. And I believe very strongly that every Christian should belong to a body of believers. That is why, though I am not a pastor of a church, you know what I'm trying to say? This is not a church. I believe that every Christian must belong to a local assembly. Okay, even though you come to Bible classes here and all that, then I'll explain my reason. You see, everybody should have an opportunity to bless the body of Christ with his gift. And now, this is not a hard and fast rule. Do you follow my point? I'm not going to be extremely dogmatic about it. I'm just talking about experiences and watching the way things work in life, generally speaking. You must have a place where you use your gift to edify the body of Christ. Are you getting my point? Now, it is not every time you have the opportunity to preach on radio like I do. Do you understand? So you can brag and say that, no, I defy the body of Christ across all denominations. Anglicans, Catholics, Methodists, Pentecostals, Charismatics, anything. All right? Maybe I can say that, but most people can't. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So in whichever area, if you're in school, belong to a fellowship somewhere and contribute something to the edification of people. Now, this is a fact. Do you know a lot of American musicians that you know today were trained in churches? All those you will be surprised where they were using their gifts to bless the body of Christ. You've heard me share this testimony of Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly became famous worldwide when he finally focused on blessing the church where he was a music pastor with the anointing that God had given him. At that point, he gave up trying to bless anybody else. He had tried. Nobody wanted to listen to him as a Christian musician. Then one day, I think it was Don Moen or Michael Coleman. Maybe I should phone him one day and ask him which one of the two, because I heard that story from his mouth once when he came to teach somewhere in Lagos about 1993 or 1994. And since then, I've been trying to remember whether he said Michael Coleman or Don Moen, one of the two of them. But the person approached him after the service, gave him his card, and said, look, I'm an executive director in the Hosanna Music, or Integrity Music, and said that I wanted to pray about recording with us. This was after his service. That was after he had given up. He said, I'm not trying to do anything again. I just want to bless the body of Christ with my gift. Do you follow my point? Look, Mike Murdoch said like this, that we're all made for connections, all right? That if you're not blessing somebody else, you're not likely to live long. That's Mike Murdoch. You follow my point? I believe it very, very seriously. In fact, a woman died some time ago, and I was discussing with my father-in-law about him, and we're talking. And my father, he made a statement in passing, and he didn't know how true it was. And when I just finished talking, he just said, yeah, I'm sure that's why the man died. He wasn't blessing anybody. that nobody was depending on him for anything. So God just saw no reason to keep on sustaining his life. So God just snuffed it out. No, really, people don't die by accident. There are reasons why God does this. God just looks and says, okay, so what am I keeping you alive for now? No, let yourself think about it. Think about it. You don't know that it costs energy, spiritually speaking, to keep you alive. All right, and now I have come. No, I'm not blessing anybody. Nobody's tapping something from your life. What is it? Say, look, I beg, I give you one more year. If by the end of next year, you're not blessing anybody, you're out of here.
Holy Spirit say, okay, just wait. I will try and teach him. I will send him for good teachings. I will make him tune to the way of success. He will hear some things. Between now and then, let's see. The following year, the Lord came by. Holy Spirit, even me, I'm tired. Yeah. Even me, I'm tired. Carry him away. They are always complaining. Yeah, I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have... Listen, everybody has something. Do you follow my point? That's why I said this thing before. That especially on radio, that radio series, Powering Your Life by Grace. Make sure you get your own copies of it, please. Very important. Powering Your Life by the Grace of God. God expects that you are using your gifts to bless people. And this is very important. You must learn to bless people for no charge. It's very crucial. You won't do well in life if from day one, you are charging people for what you know how to do. Do you get my point? Listen, I'm not saying that a time will not come that you will start charging people. But at the beginning, don't. There was a crook then in Nigeria by the name Abalaka whose claim was curing HIV. How I knew the man was a thief, was simple. He had an experimental drug and he was making the patients pay for it. People said that time that in Nigeria, they're not encouraging people. If it's America, they encourage him. I said, if it's America, he will go to jail. He said, this is America. He could only do what he was doing because he was in Nigeria. Now, what am I going to say? The guy claimed he had a gift. He knew how to cure HIV. We knew it was a lie. Those of us who knew the substance, we knew this man was lying. But how I was sure that this guy was a lying cheat, is that from day one, on an experimental drug that nobody else on earth had tested apart from you, you were charging patients upwards of 100,000 naira when an average doctor was earning 15,000 naira a month for a single month of therapy. You obviously were lying. Of course, after some time, he vanished. All his patients are dead. You get my point? All the ones that did not quickly switch over either to the miracle working God or to antiretroviral drugs, they're all dead now, I'm sure. And the man has pocketed their money. All right, so I'm just saying something here that Paul said that you must learn to exercise them. And when you're exercising something, most of the time you're not getting anything out of it. You're just exercising and building it up. Do you follow my point? In fact, if you know the divine order concerning money and stuff like that, you will know that the reason why after some time God will have to insist that you start putting a charge upon it is that you must not cast your pearls before swine. After some time, people will not value what they are, because, you have to learn to let only those who really value something take advantage of it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I remember that when GSM first came out, people said that it's too costly. NCC should insist that they bring down the charges. I said, listen to me. If you are the one doing business, you wouldn't even like that at all. I said, one, they have maybe MTN had about 100,000 lines or everything put together. I said, those 100,000 lines will go to those who need it the most. And the way you know the guy needs it the most is that he's ready to pay more for it. I said, eventually the charges will drop. They said, nah, you're talking like this. I just kept quiet. I said, I don't like talking with the masses. You get me? The masses. They have a mass movement thinking. Just something that is popular, not something that is real. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I said, listen, I was paying the same charges. We're all colleagues earning the same amount of money. I said, but it's not right to be grumbling the way you are grumbling. All right? They are charging high, I know. Then I hardly used to make calls. I used to do texting alone because it was quite expensive to make the calls. But I said one day the charges will come down. Have they not come down now? Lines now go for 2 naira. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, literally. Some lines go, Glow sold lines for 1 naira. Lines now, lines now inside go slow. In fact, if you can actually negotiate on the lines. Okay, I buy 2,000 naira card, dash me a free line. The guy will calculate in profit. He go dash you free line. What I'm trying to say here is this. You will see that what happened is that what God just did is a principle of life, economic, spiritual things. God allowed those who valued it the most, do you follow me, to, get it first. And how you know is that that's why when things are scarce, the price will go up. We see fuel as 150 naira a liter is because it's scarce. So how will other people move? Let me tell you, if it's not crucial that you drive around, drop your car and enter a bus. You will save money at the end of the day. Fuel is scarce. Please, I hope I'm not digressing too much. These are the principles of life. Instead of just going around grumbling, we masses, we have been oppressed. Listen, if you see some of the things that Jesus taught as economic principles, you will think Jesus is a capitalist. You will know God was never a communist. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Well, I'm just explaining. So sometimes, you know, so that people might place value upon it. Do you get my point? So I'm just explaining this issue of exercising your gift. That a time will come where you will now begin to, you know, you will begin to make, you begin to sieve things. And that's actually where the issue of charges come in, even if you're in business. The earliest days, do your things for free. Are you getting my point? Later on, you will know. Nobody will need to tell you when you have to start imposing heavy charges upon it. If you're a musician, for example, they are coming to come and, you know, as the number of as the frequency of shows increase, so will your charges increase. It's not because you are greedy, but you have to increase the charges to drop the frequency. Otherwise, you'll be playing five times a day and you die suddenly, and you just fizzle after 1 year. Where are you? You are not there anymore. You make up your mind from the beginning, I'm not doing it more than twice a week. So, if today you are charging half, maybe start with 10,000 naira, one day gets to half a million, they are now booking every day. You say, sorry, I charge 2.5 million naira for an hour. Most guys will miss. Then you will see about three people will remain in a week. When after some time, they will start increasing to like five, say, you up it again. Just to keep peace of mind in your head. It's not ungodly. Don't say these musicians, they are very greedy. If it is you too, you'll be greedy. Do you get my point? All this grumbling is because they have not given you to the opportunity. It's not greed. I remember someone was talking about Asuki then. The governor of Delta State, they wanted to do a program. And, you know, South-South Connection, they said, Asuki must come and play. The man said, I don't have time. So the man organizing came back to the government house and said, the man not get time. The governor said, you are joking. He must come and play. The man, look, he went back and said, Asuki, Oga said you must come and play. So I said, no problem. $1 million. The guy charged $1 million to play for 15 minutes. He said he must come. No, they were other musicians, but they said he must come. $1 million to play for 15 minutes. If I heard that after he finished playing for 15 minutes, the man will arrange, he said, what? The message, the music guy, no, the man must play some more. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? But then at the beginning, using that Asuki man as an example, in fact, you know, my pastor of my church is a friend of his. Said that the guy said that God told him before that for he will set up 10 choirs in 10 different churches before he begins to, you know, make it, you know, that what we call make it in the entertainment industry. But the guy was going from one church to the other, teaching people how to sing, you know, teaching them to play instruments, helping them arrange their choirs for no charge. What was he doing? He was exercising his gift accordingly. Are you getting my point? Now, there's something I want to go on from there again. Still, I don't, because I said by saying something before I digress this deep in all this, our plenty gist. I hope this is my gist. I hope they are making sense here. Yeah? Okay. Now, there's something I was saying earlier that is from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. Now, I realized this since some time ago, that this was a few years ago. When Christians are being brought up in and how to reach the world. Now, this is part of God's purpose for the world. We keep on developing it, all right? But just bear in mind, there are three purposes of God. One for your life personally, one for the church, and one for the whole world. Now, from what you used to bless the church, I believe that from there, something spreads into the world. Are you getting my point? Let me explain further. Then, we're taught as Christians, when you want to preach, you go to the motor park. Praise God, praise God, praise God. As this bus is about to take off, let me share something with you. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you are in this bus, you have not given your life to Christ, tomorrow might be too late. Let me let you know that once you die, there is no chance of reincarnation. The next thing is judgment. Because the Bible says, it is given unto men once to want to die. After then, there is judgment. Are you here tonight or this morning? You're about to go on this perilous journey and you have not given your life to Christ. Now the guy go fear. You go bow your head. After the journey, he said, Jesus, can I have my life back? Put that back in my pocket. I know, we're brought up to preach the gospel like that. But you see, many years ago, I realized that that's not actually right. It's not the ideal thing. It's okay. You know, what you're trying to do is that everybody's trying to be an evangelist. How did I start thinking about this? One day I entered a bus from Lagos. I think I was going either to Akure or Benin, I can't remember, but I remember I was on that road. And one young man in the vehicle said, excuse me, please, can I just share something with you guys? And he began to explain the problems with the nation and the purpose of God for the nation. And this boy, he taught accurately for like 5-10 minutes and said, I just want people to think about it. And that was it. No closing prayer, no altar call, nothing. He taught the gospel. Then shortly afterwards, a friend of mine described how he entered the bus, and two sisters were in the bus. And they said, please, want to just share something with you guys. And one of them raised a song. Two of them sang beautifully. At the end, they blessed everybody and they left it. I began to meditate and understanding came to me. Each person, if you want to evangelize, you use your gift. Are you getting my point? I'm not an evangelist. But one day a man wrote me a letter. No, he didn't write me a letter. Listen, can I remember the guy who came from Oka? He said he was an atheist. That is, he didn't believe in God until he heard me teach on the way of success. You have heard the program. I don't talk to those who don't believe in God. Are you getting my point? What I said to persuade him there is God, I don't know. Now, this guy will be, if he's too young, he'll be 38. But it's likely to be somewhere between 38 and 43, thereabout in age. Okay? He came that day. No, he came for a Bible class. At the end, he virtually knelt down here to talk to me. I was sitting down here. He says, I never believed in God, really. Sometimes I doubt, other times I don't, you know, but he said, until I heard you preach on radio. So he came all the way from Oka to come and attend a Bible class. Do you follow my point? I didn't go out to say, the soul that's in it, it shall die. No, no. I was just doing my thing, just teaching the word. Do you follow my point? Go and read Demos Shakarian. Demos Shakarian passes more messages across to people by being skillful in cattle rearing. I told you to read that book, The Happiest People on Earth. See, he said that, because they were dairy farmers. So to enlarge your head, you go and buy good bulls. Bulls are the important thing, the male version, the bulls. The idea is that for every bull, you probably have, I forgot, who knows the proportion now, maybe like 40 or 50 cows, I don't know. But the thing is that they found out that for them, it was the kind of offsprings that the cows produced that mattered the most. And that was dependent on the strength of the bull. The bull itself is not producing milk. But you depended on that bull to fertilize the cows, all right? Bring good calves, that is, good ones that will produce good milk. So people, they are professionals who will study these things and say, okay, this one, the lineage is good. If you buy this bull, man, you get your money's worth. Demos Shakarian said for him, how did he used to make his choices? Now, everybody depended on professionals. Those who knew the store very well, go from one place to the other, they would advise you. They were paid. And then based on the history of each bull, his family background, they will put a price tag on it. Some of them go for as high as $20,000, some for $5,000. And the ones that don't have any premium on them, maybe $2,000, $1,000. Now, the bull that you wanted is the one that will be able to fertilize as many cows as possible. He will live long himself. And all the ones that he will be producing as a result of his actions, you get my point, they will be great milk producers. So you just let them loose amongst your head. Are you getting the logic? But how do you tell that? You use those professionals. But for him, he said he'll just go from one stall to the other, looking at the bulls. And at a point in time, he'll just see a bull that there's like a glow on it. Nobody else can see it. Even he really can't explain it properly. But as if the bull is glowing, he will just know that that's the one the Holy Spirit wants him to buy. So no matter the price, whether it's high or it's low, he will buy. Some of them, the price might be high. And the people around him will say, look, that thing is overpriced. It's not worth the money. Say, don't worry. He will buy it. Some of them, the price is low. And it's low because everybody's of the opinion that it's not worth anything. He will still buy it. But they notice that consistently, every bull that Demos Shakarian bought produced excellently. Then one day, one man came to me and said, oh boy, why you did your handle? He said, what do you mean by you? He said, you don't know nothing. Meanwhile, the best advisors, you kept them behind, they are feeding you somewhere. Now tell us, who's your advisor? So initially, he said, nobody now. Then suddenly he realized what was happening. Opportunity for evangelism. And that's actually have an advisor. heard the guy say, I knew it. He had to have an advisor. Who? He said, this is my advisor. It's one of a kind. All right. This advisor knows cattle more than anything else. Do you know why? Because the cattle on the Thousand Hills, they are his. He made the cattle. As the guy is going on, the guy is getting the point. Actually, my advisor is God Almighty, creator of the cattle and you and I. Are you getting my point? Now, he has evangelized based on using his gift in cattle rearing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? See, I believe very strongly, what God wants to bless the world with, is that gift that he has given you. You know, the problem in life is that everybody tries to be the same thing. We are all struggling to be the same thing. See, someone like Kirk Franklin. The reason why he became Kirk Franklin was that before Kirk Franklin, there was nothing like Kirk Franklin. That's why I don't understand why everybody wants to be like Kirk Franklin now. Before T.D. Jakes, which T.D. Jakes did you know? Are you getting my point? That is why I don't want to sound like T.D. Jakes. I don't want to even be confused with T.D. Jakes for any reason. Why? Because before T.D. Jakes, there was no T.D. Jakes. And before whatever it is that I will become, and I indeed have become, but maybe not yet fully manifested, there was nothing like it. And listen, the world would be blessed best if I would just be what I am supposed to be. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I like you looking at someone like T.D. Jakes as a preacher and comparing somebody like Derek Prince as a preacher. The two of them talk, you know, one is classic black American. Shout, you know, demonstrate, run, holla, do everything. The other one is the original Englishman that God made. Stand in one spot, talk very slowly. Both of them affected their generation. One is still affecting, in fact, both of them are still affecting their generation because Derek Prince, though he has gone on to be with the Lord, but his books and tapes and radio broadcasts, they are still going on. Do you follow what I'm saying? One of the best things you do for yourself in life, is to just like what God has made it to be. Discover your own gift, cultivate it, and you will be amazed at how much God can bless the world through that thing. Are you getting my point? You are following the point I'm trying to make? Now, that thing is so important. That's why Paul said, look, you know what you will do? Look for the area you have a grace, identify your gift, and start exercising it accordingly. Exercise that thing accordingly. I said something earlier. Now, apart from a body, a church, I believe that every opportunity you have, you should use your gift to bless people, not just church. I've talked about church briefly. You know, I remember once I was in Luth. Somebody mentioned that there was some medical school, not now that there are medical schools everywhere, but one of the new, actually in Ogun State, all right, that they need people to teach pathology. I remember very well. So I just said in passing that, well, if there are so much in need that they don't mind people like us who are not fully qualified, well, I was a senior registrar then, that they know wahala, they should just let us know. All they need to do is pay transportation and we'll teach them for free. As much as I didn't even understand these things. It just came out of me spontaneously. Said, nobody to teach. Teaching a small thing now. I said, look, let them just arrange transportation. We'll go all the way to Shagamu and back. It's not a big deal. One of my colleagues was there. He was very angry. He said, look at it. That's how you will be cheapening yourself anyhow. Eh? You just be, oh, what do you mean teaching them for free? I said, listen, my friend, there's a difference between cheap and free. No, I told you simply. Cheap and free, they are not the same thing. Free things can be very costly. You get what I'm saying? I'm not charging you doesn't mean it's cheap. For example, I go around teaching the word of God, all right? I teach on air. It's free everywhere. But do you think it's cheap? Are you getting my point? Cheap, I told him that, look, cheap things and free things are not the same thing. I'm not charging doesn't mean the thing is cheap. I don't even know what I know now, all right? But I just remember that story just now. Now, you see, what was happening was that I was willing to exercise my gift to bless somebody. I mean, for me, it wasn't costing me anything. In the days of your training, if you really want to do well in life, look, everywhere you get the opportunity. They say, how much? They say, don't discuss money yet. Let me just do it for you people. Because in fact, this is just a natural plane. If nobody knows you and you want to charge, they won't hire you anyway. Now, why should they hire you? Why take the risk? They'll go and hire somebody that is known. The only way you can compete with people who are known is by not charging. If it's something that you need to put money in, then by being ridiculously low, that's the only way you can compete with known people. If you are a builder, nobody has seen the building you are building, you want to compete with Julius Berger, but just forget it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The only way you can compete with people, because I know people who do stuff like that. The thing that broke them down into that industry was that people realized, in fact, somebody told me that these guys will give you G-Kappa finishing for half of G-Kappa price. All right? They said, their finishing is G-Kappa standard, but their price is half of G-Kappa. So that way you are willing to take the risk. That's how they broke into it. But now, you can be sure they are no longer charging half of G-Kappa price. They too, they are beginning to go up. Now, G-Kappa beat, they will beat. It's man to man. Now, you get my point? It's man to man. The days of boyhood don't pass. And again, this is a matter of fact. They had to do that because they were being overwhelmed with requests for work. They just had to move up in their prices so that they would be able to, you know, have some comfort for themselves and not be overwhelmed with jobs. Do you follow the point I'm making? You see, I don't know why I'm sitting so strongly on this. I was talking about holiness. And let me just say it again. Holiness of God, the holiness that goes to stay in one, to dig a hole in the wall of a mountain and stay inside there so as not to be contaminated with the world. That is the guy who will die, and either he goes to hell or when, now listen, he didn't fornicate, he didn't lie, he didn't cheat, he was inside a cave. But he will either go to hell or stay in the lowest part of heaven. Why? Because he didn't bless anybody, he was in a cave. You know, there are some monks in town. George, you know them very well. There are some monks in town. I want to ask, I said, these monks, what are they? They said they descended from maybe St. Francis of Assisi. You know that St. Francis. I said, this is where I am confused. St. Francis himself found out later in life that he was wasting time by these monkry activities. No, really. No, I'm telling the truth. They found out that the only way, listen, this is the way life is. That the only way, is that expression not correct? Monkry activities. No, I don't mean monastery. I mean monkry activities. Going around like a monk. It's like you don't touch anything. Nothing touches you. You are holy. You are pure. You are the most unclean of human beings. Are you getting my point? Why? Because God is looking at this one. Is not blessing anybody. He's just going around feeling very holy and righteous. He has deceived himself. It's a waste of time. Bros, if you're hungry, chop. Listen, this hunger won't get us anywhere. He found that, look, charitable work was a better monkey activity than staying and meditating. And do you get my point? How can you go and live inside the forest somewhere and say you are talking to God? God told you needed conversation or something. No, what he wants is for you to go out. And so I'm going to explain something. That holiness is to identify what God wants to do and do it with him. If God said, okay, I want everybody in caves, hey, go and build cave, you to enter it. But I heard the story of one man. Literally, what I told you is not a joke. They actually carved a cave out in the inside of a mountain for him, put him inside and blocked it completely, leaving only a hole to pass food and water inside. And he was supposed to be a holy man. What is holiness? Serving the purpose of God. What is he doing there? Nothing. That is a sinful man, an unholy man, a man that's walking in iniquity, breakfast, supper, lunch. I want to just explain that. So holiness is not the way I carry my long face, you know. Those days, you know, in school, there were brethren you couldn't greet because they are going on the road. They're talking to the spirit, though. When you greet them, I'm so happy I couldn't copy such things. Don't get you anywhere, believe me. Those are Eastern religion practices. All this, go and check it. All of them, all this waking up in the morning and chanting and counting. What they call it, Muslims. They're always counting those their beads. Always chanting something. Always trying to communicate with the realm of the spirit. Called divination. That's not Christianity. Are you getting my point? What is holiness? Holiness really is exercising your gift, all right, to bless people accordingly. That is, you look at what God has created. Because I've said it before again and again on radio. We discuss this a lot on radio. That is how God does. Anytime he wants to bless the world, he sends somebody. When God wants to bless the world, first thing he does is to bring somebody onto the scene. Do you get my point? God doesn't just drop blessing from heaven. No. When it was time to deliver the Israelites, he had to send Joseph, Moses. He always sends people. When he was going to deliver them from captivity in Babylon, he said it simply, I have chosen Cyrus. He says, my anointed servant. Why? Because he will make my oppressed go free. He said, he will ask me concerning my sons. Most of us misquote that scripture. He said that concerning my sons, command ye me. What he actually said was that concerning my sons, he will make inquiries of me. What do you want me to do about your children? Are you getting my point? He said, for that reason, I will leave the two leaf doors open before him. Listen, I've said this before. God doesn't choose people because of how nice they look. God chooses them because of what they will do. Let me say that again. The reason why God will choose you to do something for him in life or choose you for an office in life is because of what you will do when you get to that office. He said, can't you see Abraham? I have chosen him because I know that he will teach his children and his household after him to fear the Lord. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He said, because it's only when he has done that I will be able to bring forth the promise that I have promised him, which again is so that in him the whole nations of the earth will be blessed. Are you getting my point? That is why, at least, all this kalokalo giving, me, I don't believe in it at all. You know, I keep on saying it. You know why I have to keep on saying it? Yesterday, we went for an evening out in a program in church. And I noticed something. I told my wife, see this thing. One guy was cracking a joke. And I noticed that his joke was on. So one man came to church, he had only one pair of trousers, and the preacher said, I wanted to challenge God. Challenge God with something dangerous. And the guy removed his trousers and gave us an offer. So the guy was cracking the joke. I turned to my wife and said, see, this has even become a joke. What am I trying to say? That you see, it's not the kalokalo issue that's the issue. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, God is looking at your heart and judging by your works what you will do when you get to that situation. And let me tell you something here. You can never know what you will do when you get there except by the things that you are doing now. Do you follow my point?